How's it going? This is Scott Fish. I co-host a podcast called the Commission Impossible Podcast with Ryan McDowell. We don't exactly go over player values or dynasty trades or potential or rankings or mock drafts, and we usually don't even have guests. We just like to talk about commissioner stuff, so that's what you get. You can learn about lots of different scoring systems, interesting rules, settings, how to set up your playoffs, how to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn, I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm laying. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am not Brian Haar, and I, too, have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 125 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. So, as you heard, not Brian Haar is here. Brian Haar is... I mean, I guess he's happy. He is watching his Steelers play against his Baquan. And one of those sides of Brian's brain right now is happy because as of the moment we started recording, the Steelers were winning and Ben looked good. That's great. Saquon was averaging 0.4 yards per carry. That is not great.
Yeah, Saquon Bellage is having a...
Ooh. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Before I tell you who... You know, who said it? You might as well say it now.
I say Saquon Bellage is having a very tough evening.
Yeah, there you go. And that is Zacharias Reed, everybody. at Tacit Assassin 13 for all of the hate DMs and ats you want to throw at him. But man, you don't have much of an argument right now. Who cares if it's the offensive line or anything? That is, man, that's not pretty, especially with Benny Snell on the other side over 100 yards.
Yeah,
well, that's not good. Okay, well, it is week one is practically in the books. Football is here, and that is I'm fighting every ounce of my being not to curse. So I'm going to say it's gosh darn awesome. I'm so happy. I didn't even get to watch much football yesterday because I don't know if you knew this, but yesterday, Sunday, was Grandparents' Day. And my in-laws are the kind of grandparents that would be offended if we did not celebrate Grandparents' Day. But on the plus side, Grandparents' Day included dinner of pot roast, lasagna, and dessert of banana cream pie.
Well, that sounds like a win then.
Yeah, it evened out in the end. I got to watch a little bad football of the Cowboys game. It was nice to see Zeke being Zeke, you know, looking good for what he was. The Rams being the Rams, I guess. I don't know. But I guess we'll get to that in the end. I talked to anyone else before I did this. Since today is week one and we've had no preseason, we'd have no real look at these people play football before right now. I just knew it was going to be nuts on Twitter today and worse tomorrow with Saquon doing as poorly as he is. Like, I know I hope, cross my fingers, while we're talking, he's going to break out an 80 yard run touchdown because, man, do I need that for a Trade Addict 7 because I just don't want to lose to Bobby. And Or maybe I do want to lose to Bobby, so I could blame it on Brian for making us draft Saquon. Either way, I get a win, I guess. So I knew it was going to be crazy. I knew it was going to be fun. And the thing is, I wanted to feed into the hysteria. So we are doing first week freakouts. It's like a combination of overreaction Monday and setting your hair on fire, I guess, because of week one of football, which it seems there's the, what is it? The Family Guy gif where the woman pours the gasoline on her, lights herself on fire, then jumps out a window. Like I picture that up, like a lot of people acting like that before they type on Twitter.
It is. And it's funny because like I will tweet live during a game and I have kind of a very Peter Howard mentality during games where I never tweet serious about like during games. And I'm always kind of holding up a mirror to everyone who is flying off the handle. And that was the first drive of the Chiefs game. And I tweeted out Clyde Edwards-Helaire is averaging 1 yard per carry. Like this is your guy.
Yep.
And it, like I got a whole bunch of flack for that. Well, it's the first. And I'm like, no, it's okay. I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I've sung about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like,
yeah, I didn't do it on Twitter, but I did it in a couple of group chats. I'm like, well, should have started Darrell Williams. He caught like two passes and had one good run. So it's just like, yeah, no, clearly he's the guy. And of course, we're just BSing. We're having fun, but you know, people are people.
Well, and I think this has been even more because you've got that pent up, you know, everybody has been clamoring for football since last offseason. You had the draft that was off because of COVID, you know, so you didn't have the live draft, you know, in Las Vegas. It's been a weird truncated preseason where you didn't get to see any games. You couldn't even watch practice the last couple of weeks, of the preseason. And so everyone has just, it's, you took the bottle of soda, you shook it up, and now week one, whoosh, you know, we've let it go.
Drop that Mentos into that. Watched it go. Okay. So I need to point out that it's 9:53. Like we pulled an ish open bar style when we were going to start recording. So at like 9:25, Zach signs on to StreamYard and he's like, so what are we talking about? I'm like, I probably could have told you that before.
Oh, well.
So the way this is going to go is, like I said before, I didn't get to watch a lot of football. So I went out to Twitter. I said, what are you freaking out about? And then, of course, I just scrolled my timeline, saw a couple of things people are freaking out about. And then I did a little bit of box score watching, whatever they call it, and made up a couple of my own overreactions or things I'm freaking out about. And since Zach is a smarty pants and he watched some football, stop that little self-deprecating chuckle. Get over it. You're smart. And we had a very, very in-depth discussion before we start. Well, before we were recording, but before you guys started to hear this, unless you're a Patreon, hey, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, you could hear what Hogwarts House, all of my family belongs to, and some of Zach's family. Spoiler alert, he's Ravenclaw because he's a freaking genius. Yeah, that's right. Harry Potter talk. Brian's not here to stop me. Oh, well. But we started talking about the Chiefs and all that stuff. So let's just jump right into the Chiefs and Texas game. I'm going to start first by saying the Texans offense is in trouble without DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes. Yes, that is true.
See, this is a game I did get to see. Do you think it's more DeAndre Hopkins being gone or that offensive line still just being trash?
I think it's a combo platter where you don't have DeAndre Hopkins bailing out Deshaun Watson when the offensive line breaks down. I mean, that was the thing. You could always count on DeAndre Hopkins being there for that back shoulder throw on the sideline to the direction that Watson is rolling out because he's being chased by, you know, six 300-pound men. And without that, it looks a lot different.
Okay, so this leads me to my next one, and I think this one might be right because of what you just said. David Johnson's back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
good. Duke Johnson did not look good, and then I think pulled a hammy anyway. Something like that. Yeah. His leg. I'm not sure what it was, but he was out for the game. Like, David Johnson looked good, and I think they're going to need to dump the ball off a lot.
That's it. It's a safety valve. It's that bailout. It's the, you know, we were a year early on the David Johnson resurgence, I guess. Although the first five games of last year, he was good. Yeah. I think you're just kind of hoping he stays healthy. I shouldn't say that too loud, but like, that's the thing with David Johnson. I don't think it's ever been about talent. I think it's always been health. You know, he's been nicked up the better part of four different seasons or three different seasons. I mean, that's just kind of been his, one of the markers on his game. But when he is healthy, very good in the passing game, which is what you like. You know, he was a prime zero RB or modified zero RB running back this year. And I think you're going to be happy you have him.
Okay. So, you know, most of the times we just like go straight down and then we do sections of things. You know, technically we call this the main event. Then we do listener questions or trade addicts trades, but I think we're going to mix things up a little bit.
Because do I get to do any hard? Do I get to, the main event?
That was actually really good. You hit us with the trade addicts trades though.
Trade addicts trades.
Trade addicts teams are 12. That was wonderful. Don't sell your shells. Don't sell yourself.
I practiced in the shower this afternoon. I really did.
You know what, you can tell. Because you're doing that in the shower, you know, you clear up your sinuses. So 12 team super flex PPR tight end premium 1.75 points for tight end receptions. This is a trade addicts one trade, so there is no return yardage. But this was before the game on Thursday, clearly, because we can't trade after game start. David Johnson and a third for an early 21 first. Hmm. Now, at the time, I was like, why would you send a first for David Johnson? But now, would you send a first for David Johnson?
I still think, well, I guess it depends on the situation of my team. If I'm looking at my team and I'm one of the top two or three teams in the league without David Johnson and I need, you know, that running back, you only have to start one running back, right? This is the, yeah. So maybe I wouldn't. That kind of colors my thinking in that type of league where if I can sneak by with one stud running back and depending on how the draft goes. But I guess to answer your question, yes, I would, but my team would have to be pretty flipping good for me to send a first to get David Johnson because I think you're not going to get value back for him ever.
Yeah, and David Johnson, if your team is okay, David Johnson isn't going to put you over the edge.
No.
Okay, so yeah, if you think you are making the playoffs, maybe going and buy David Johnson for your first is a good idea because, again, you are getting a player who will hopefully score points, which makes your first later, and hopefully you win, in which case who gives a crap about your first? Okay, so let's go back to the game. Because, I mean, I have every game listed, so, you know, we might need to go a little fast on some of them. I just wrote, okay, so we're going over to the Chiefs now. I just wrote Sammy in all capital letters, 7 or 8 exclamation points. I want to believe, I know we had week one last year, and that's like the running joke at this point. But, okay, hear me out. Hear me out. If Tyreek didn't score that touchdown towards the end of the game, his week night would have been trash. Like,
yes.
Got bailed out by that, and I don't know necessarily if it was they schemed him out because I mean Kelsey got his, DeMarcus Robinson got his, but think about it, like that team has so much speed on the sides. Is Sammy Watkins the new like Anquan Boldin? Like, is he the new big? I hate that I did that, but like, is he the new big slot? I mean, let's just put it like that. And if that's true. Him and Kelsey underneath with Mecole on one side, DeMarcus in the one slot, and Tyreek on the other side with the risk of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, just are you going to let me believe or are you going to shut me down right now?
I mean, so he's going to have games like this. It all depends on the way defenses play the Chiefs. You saw this 2 years ago when the Patriots beat the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game where Sammy Watkins had that big game and what the Patriots did, and again, what happened a little bit with Houston this past week is they are funneling, they're making Sammy Watkins beat them, essentially. Like that's what the game plan is try to get Mahomes to roll out. If he's rolling to his left, he's far less effective than if he's rolling to his right. Make him roll to his left and try to throw to Sammy Watkins. And if you can do that, in theory, you can beat the Chiefs occasionally.
Mm-hmm. They might only put 30 on you.
Yeah. Oh, but the nice thing about Sammy Watkins is you don't ever have to draft him as a wide receiver two or four. Probably even a three. Yeah. So he's, I'm going to my next show, and I haven't quite got around to recording yet, is going to be about tiers and types of players. Mm-hmm. And so I think that Sammy Watkins is this interesting type of player where it's similar to the way that I view a player like DeSean Jackson, although they don't play similar games.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you have Sammy Watkins as your wide receiver three or four or five, if you're in a deep league, I mean, if you're in a Trade Addicts league and you can run six wide receivers deep, and Sammy's great because he'll get you six, 10, 12 points most weeks. And then he's going to have weeks like this where he blows up, and those weeks are going to win you, you know, weeks, and the other weeks are not necessarily going to lose you a week. So it's the ceiling play from a player that you can get late that is a really big win for you as a fantasy football player.
See, that's really all I wanted to hear. Like, I was going to ask, like, would you feel safe plugging him in during the bye weeks? And you, from what your answer, you yeah. say yes. And that's honestly, well, I'd be happy with that for Sammy Watkins at this point.
And that's, and I don't necessarily expect nine targets every week because that's like, that's what he got. But there are going to be weeks where teams specifically try to take away Tyreek Hill and take away Travis Kelce. And when that happens, by default, the answer is Sammy Watkins, and Patrick Mahomes is good enough to get it to him.
Okay, so would you on a competing team send – okay, let's say I'm going to win the championship. Should I send my second-round pick for Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, I don't see why not. But again, you're talking to a guy who I don't care about second, third, fourth, fifth-round picks as a general rule. I can always reacquire those in the draft.
No, then, so honestly, yes, that is how you should be thinking about it.
So I send those.
Yeah. Okay. Good. That's really, you think about it right. So don't don't say that so flippantly. All right. So at Andrew Hall FF. No, but seriously, should we be freaking out about CEH's zero catches and JT's six since the narrative all season was the other way around? Or is this just a 1 week fluke? And I put in parentheses CEH's terrible short yardage play. let's stick to the Chiefs on this one. Are you freaking out about any part of CEH right now?
No, that was fantastic. He got half of the targets out of the backfield. There were only four throws to running backs. Yes.
You know. Yeah, they don't throw a lot to the running back. I think that like left people's minds.
Well, and if you're talking about the fact that he didn't catch one, you know, that's not great, but he also got six goal line carries, which means that they are trying to figure out what they have in Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
And it's not a goal line back.
Well, no, not when J.J. Watt is in the backfield. I mean, that makes a difference. He's a pretty formidable human being.
Oh, yes.
But I think that you're going to see Helaire catch the ball. You saw him get 25 carries, which is ridiculous. I mean, that was way beyond expectation. Oh, yeah. And so to me, and we're going to get to Eckler, I assume, at some point. Yes. But I saw J.J. Zacharyson go back and forth on the Eckler and Helaire, and I had been having the same thought, and then I saw that, and I was like, okay, well, if J.J.'s on board, then I'm doing this right. But I'm far more concerned about Eckler's lack of use in the passing game than I am in Helaire after one game, because I still think that they are trying to figure out how they're going to use Helaire, how this offense is going to work. And they also, I mean, they also got Sammy Watkins the ball seven times, you know, for 80 yards. So it's not, they weren't worried about moving the ball at that point.
Like I said, this is all going to seem like overreactions. And that's part of the point. That's the fun of it. Cause I want everyone listening to this show to be a little bit more freaked out about one of these things than they came in. That's my goal for all of you.
I'm way too rational. I'm sorry. Like, I'm going to kill
not you. That's why you're on this show, because I know you're not the audience. You're not the one that this would really affect. And I'll say I did that strategically. And no, it was just because I haven't talked to you in a while and I needed someone to co-host with me.
I appreciate. I'll always love coming on the show. So,
all right, new third co-host. All right, so now the new show, next game. That's the word.
Huh. The news. Making
a new show. There you go. The Seahawks and the Falcons. The Seahawks are finally letting Russ cook. 31 of 35 for 322 yards and 3 touchdowns.
That was
that is cooking. Let me just say that, but
absolutely beautiful, Chef Russ.
Is this a thing? Do we think this is going to happen?
Can we hope it's a thing? Like,
yeah.
I mean, the only downside of it is if you had Chris Carson and you're like, well, there weren't any carries because they were letting Russ throw the ball around the yard and
got 2 touchdowns, right?
Yeah, oh, he did. I mean, he had 6 targets and caught the ball out of the backfield, and that was great. But you expect Chris Carson to be the 2025 carry guy, and I mean, I don't expect him to catch 2 touchdowns every week.
See, what I'm really hoping happened is the Schottenheimer. I forgot almost. I was about to say the offensive coordinator, but then I realized I knew who the offensive coordinator was. Maybe he actually game planned for their opponent. Like, the only good part of that defense is the defensive line, and maybe we don't just run into that. Even when they had the lead, they were still throwing the ball because they pretty much had the game for most of it. So I knew they were going to throw more than they did last year. I did not expect 35 passes the first game. But also last year, I think Kirk Cousins threw 35 times the first game.
Yeah, but do you want to know what the thing that really, really makes me excited about Seattle this year is? 11 times in that game, the Seahawks lined up in 2nd and 8 or longer, and they threw the ball 11 times.
Love it.
I mean, that's
not the Seahawks.
No, but that's exactly what you want to see.
Exactly, and that's why I don't trust it, because I go to Seahawks after all this time. See, I'm hoping it's real. And what I loved about, besides the fact that 31 of 35 for 322 and 3 touchdowns, is what I said before the season kind of it came to fruition. Like, you should be able to start Lockett and DK every single week and it'll be fine. And I know Olsen was a little bailed by that touchdown. He's still like, that is going to happen. The Seahawks score points as long as they do assume to pass the ball, but we're not going to, and like, I need to go off the Seahawks. Otherwise I'm just going to keep talking about them. Okay. So the Falcons, this one was mine. The top 3 Falcons receivers of Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Russell Gage will all end the season over 100 targets with over 1,000 yards.
You know, that's not as crazy as it sounds.
Hey, if you extrapolate from game one,
I mean,
120 targets each, which 1,200 yards.
No, like the 120 targets each is crazy, but I do think that Austin Hooper is gone, and I do not think that Hayden Hurst is that same caliber of player. And like, I've had this argument with a couple. Actually, I had it with your buddies here on the DAP network, where I said, look, Austin Hooper is not there anymore. Hayden Hurst is fine, but yeah, he was my 5th ranked tight end in that class.
He was most people's 5th ranked tight end.
and my favorite piece of his game is he's really good at wham blocking. So like, he can start on the right side in line and make a block on the left side of the center. He's quick and is really good at that. But that was like his best feature for me watching him play. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, somebody theoretically is going to be good and get those targets. Do I think Russell Gage is going to have 100? Probably not. But man, wheels up for Calvin Ridley though.
Yeah, baby.
And that's a drum that I've been beating on for 2 years, where like, I anticipated this jump and probably without the injury last year, you would have had this, but I've been anticipating this jump. It was Lockett and Godwin and Ridley last year that Kyle and I do a show, or traditionally do a show. I did it this year, but do a show where we look at receivers that we think are going to take a bump that you can get between pick 40 and pick 70. because that's a real sweet spot if you can get a wide receiver one in there.
Yep.
And Ridley has been that guy. And I think, you know, you're going to see Matt Ryan lead the league in pass attempts again. And he's good. Yep. And that offense is good. They're going to put up points, and their defense is not that good. And so they're going to be in shootouts.
Yep. I completely agree. I'm in two redrafts. So they're keeper leagues, but still technically redraft anyway. I actually, for the first time, abandoned being the last person to pick a quarterback because I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm taking Matt Ryan because that dude is going to throw the ball.
Yeah. So
I have the Ryan and Ridley stack.
Yeah.
Which clearly makes me happy. Okay. And we covered the next one because you went into Hayden Hurst, but Troy King at T King mode, Hayden Hurst. I asked what he's freaking out about. Hayden Hurst. I'm definitely overreacting, but I expected more.
No, you shouldn't have.
I think is what it comes down to. That's on you, man.
you should have been going after Dallas Goedert. You should have, like, that has been the play. Dallas Goedert has been the number two target on that team since he's been there.
We're going to talk about Dallas Goedert. Don't worry about
it. Sorry. I'm fired up, man.
Keep it down. Simmer down. Okay, now we're going to go to the Ravens and the Browns. And let's start with the Ravens. Lamar is for real and will continually break fantasy football.
The funny thing is he didn't even run. Like, he ran for what, like 40 yards? Like, he didn't even run last week.
And honestly, that's great because next game he will, and he's going to destroy because they're like, oh, maybe he's going to stand back a little bit and just throw the ball.
But that's the thing with Lamar Jackson, and that's the reason why I was taking him in one quarterback leagues as soon as the second round in rookie drafts the year he came out. And there's actually me talking about the class and how I ranked the quarterbacks, and I said, you know, on tape and by the numbers, he's probably not the best quarterback in the class. Mm-hmm. But in fantasy football, he may be the best quarterback in the NFL very quickly. And that, I mean, he may not be because I didn't see Patrick Mahomes as being Patrick Mahomes. But
people did not.
Yeah. But I did say he's Michael Vick with a better understanding and ability to throw the ball. His last year of college and even last year, you could see him. He starts to read zones. He starts to run progressions. He starts to find Mark Andrews is a prime example of that because that's a second or third read. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. I got my safety valve, Mark Andrews in the middle of the field, touchdown.
Yeah. And normally in the point scoring season, our normal format is we do keep trades, bides and make amends. I'm going to just jump in here real quick, even though we're not officially doing this. And I want to make amends for Hollywood Brown.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. I think it might be for real.
Yeah. Like,
I know I said a lot last year. It could just be the foot injury because I know that takes like a year to get over. But it's been a year. He's bulked up a little bit and he looks good. He may be the real thing. And yeah. I'm very glad that I traded for like two shares right before the season.
You're smarter than I am because I'm always willing to admit that I'm wrong, and I'm always excited when I'm wrong because generally it's I am lower on a player and they go off, and so that's great. Like I am 100% willing to accept being wrong, being too low on a player, and having them go off, and being able to cheer for a player because the more players scoring points, the better off fantasy football is. And just as a person, you want to see people succeed. Yeah. Like I'm never cheering against players. And Hollywood Brown was a guy that, you know, you watched in college and like, I'm not sure he's big enough, physical enough to play in the NFL, to stay healthy in the NFL, to create separation in the NFL. And he has gotten bigger and has he's put in the work. He's done it. Like I'll eat that.
Gladly. Yes. But also just, I am in enough leagues where I have just in case shares. So like even on it, like there's always going to be a rebuilding team or a competing team where I can just buy one copy of a good guy or a young guy, where just in case they break out, I have at least one share. So I just took over Red List 2. I joined Bobby as a co-owner of a Red List 2 team, the ones Matt Price runs.
Yep.
And I decided that we were rebuilding. And we sold, I think it was James Conner for Hollywood Brown in a third. And this is at a 0.25 points per carry league. So Conner has a little bit more value, but I think everyone, it doesn't matter the scoring. Everyone knows James Conner is A, always going to be hurt, which he did already get hurt today. And B, he's a 1 year asset anyway. So getting, I thought getting Hollywood by himself, because my original offer was Hollywood in a second. And I was like, do it. And I knew he was going to come back with either straight up or for a third. So I was glad to take the third, but very glad the way that worked out. Next, at Dear Johnny FT Ball. I almost just said football, but that's not really his actual name. Odell and the Browns flailing around the football field. Now, I didn't actually really get to watch this game. So were the Browns as bad as it seems?
Yes. Yes.
Was it because of the offensive line?
The offensive line is not good, but they really force-fed. I mean, like, they threw the ball to Odell 10 times. Like, they force-fed Odell. Eventually, people are going to realize that Jarvis Landry is the best receiver, best player on that. Well, maybe Chubb's the best player, but the best receiver on that team. I mean, the fact that he only had 6 targets is ludicrous in a game where you can't move the football. And I don't think Baker Mayfield is very good at dealing with adversity. And so you have a compound of a bad offensive line. You know, Odell Beckham is not good at dealing with adversity. I mean, he's a great player. But he's not always what I would consider tough mentally. He has that ability to kind of lose concentration and get frustrated. And I mean, you've seen it a bunch of times where guys get in his head and he will punch a kicking net or, you know, that sort of thing. And so, yeah, the Browns are, there's so much talent, and it kind of reminds me of watching the Lakers. Back when they were like, yeah, we're going to add Gary Payton, we're going to add Karl Malone, and there were so much talent and no go.
Man, you realize half the people listening don't even know who those people are.
They probably weren't even alive when those people
were. That hurts me deep. I love that. Back when I watched basketball, when they were on their original teams.
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, I just want to say, A, I love that J.K. Dobbins did well because he was my favorite running back coming in, but it like broke my brain that it was the opposite of how I thought they would be used. I thought Dobbins would be in between the 20s guy, and then they would just give it to Ingram at the goal line, but clearly I had that backwards because they put in Dobbins on the goal line. I'll take it. I'll take the touchdowns. That's fine.
That was weird, but I think people are going to overreact to the touchdowns. And that's Well, but that's one thing that we do like really big time. And it was, who was it? Was it Kevin Ogletree? There was some receiver that like had 3 touchdowns in week one, like 3 or 4 years ago, 4 or 5, might be longer than that. But like, and everyone was like, oh, you know, he's going to be great. And, you know, this is not comparing Dobbins to like a one hit wonder, but I think you're going to see people kind of jump the shark on Dobbins and try to crown him earlier than we should. I think he's a better back than Ingram at this point in their careers, but I also think that you're going to still have Ingram hanging around. There's going to be more of Mark Ingram than fantasy football, especially Dynasty, is going to be happy with, but it's going to happen. Dobbins is taking over that backfield.
All right. Yes or no question. Is this what the Browns' backfield is? Chubb runs the ball, Hunt catches the ball?
Yeah, but that's what it has been. Although Hunt out-touched him in the running game, too.
Yeah, that game got weird in the end. I'm not really good at that. I'm going to be honest.
But yeah, it's you're have a chance to have 2 players who are on the cusp of top 12 running backs in that same backfield because they're splitting the work in terms of passes and rushes. And Chubb has the ability to haul off the, you know, the 70-yard run at any time. I think he's one of the best runners in the NFL. I mean, he was even coming out. I mean, that was the debate. It wasn't that Chubb was not a good runner. It was, is he going to be the best pass catcher in his backfield? I still maintain that's an issue. And so that's what you're seeing.
Okay. The next game is the Bills and Jets. I honestly had nothing for this because neither of it was super surprising. I don't think anyone cares about the Bills and the Jets. I'm still there for Devin Singletary. That's all I'll say. People are going to think that Moss did all great and all of that stuff, but do you really want the goal line back on a team with Josh Allen? Does it matter?
So this is what I have written down for the Bills backfield in my notes. The Bills backfield is a split show.
Yes, that is right along with your name right there. Bam.
Yeah. And that, like, that's it. And the only other thing I have written down for this entire game, and I tweeted this out too, is Sam Darnold is what everybody wanted Josh Allen to be, which is real bad.
Yeah, it really hurts my feelings because I really do like Darnold. So let's get into a Trade Addicts four trade. Sam Darnold and a late 21 second for an early 21 first, second, and third.
Oh, I'd rather have the first, second, and third. Like, not even, I'm not even going to bat an eye.
Again, this was before the game, so you can't.
I
believe in Sam Darnold. Like, the end of the season last year, like the second half, they were so good.
No.
Like, but after Gase leaves,
he's going to make Jamison Crowder really good this entire year.
Oh, yes. For sure. Okay, I just wanted to, because I think I'm going to take Hawk on Darnold. I think that's really just what it is. Like, he's insanely young. He's good. He shows he can be good. Maybe if Mims were actually playing and healthy, if I'm going to make excuses, don't nod your head. I'm making excuses.
He's always had these flashes where, like, even in college, like, he could make throws down the field that nobody else in that class could make. Like, and he would look amazing. And then the next three balls would be just airmailed in space in the middle of the field to, you know, two safeties, you know, on the other team. Like, that's always been Sam Darnold. He's been such a tease and just hasn't been the goods. I tell you the one thing on the Bills that I'd noticed that I didn't expect this year is John Brown is going to be viable.
Yeah, like, both of them. Like, I mean, Diggs still got his targets, right?
Yeah. Oh, certainly. Like, I expected Diggs to come in and kind of, it's the Peter Howard, the targets follow the talent, and Diggs is obviously a talented player. I expected Diggs to come in and take a big share, John Brown to be kind of the lost man because Diggs is taking plays downfield and Cole Beasley does what he does underneath. But it really looks like both of those players are going to be viable. Although I don't expect Josh Allen to throw for 300 yards, maybe ever again. It's the first time he's done it in his career. Yeah. And it's only the sixth time he's been over 250 yards in his career. So
it'd be cool if this is a thing though. I mean, like they have two really good outside receivers now. And Dawson Knox is becoming, I think he's becoming a thing. And there's still Cole Beasley who will always be decent. And
that's so open. It's great.
Yeah. And Singletary out of the backfield. I'm completely fine with them. I've said since last year, I'm fine with Devin Singletary splitting touches. That's what he should be doing. Hopefully he gets his efficiency back a little bit. Like, he's still decent, but I want to see a little bit more, but I think he got four catches, I think it was. So I'm completely good with that. That Singletary hate went too far, but we've been talking about this bad game for weeks.
Sorry.
We're gonna move on to your game, the Patriots and the Dolphins. Let's see. How should I do this one first? Okay, so this is, I'm going to read them both. First, Jerry O'Shea at Jerry Shea FF. He wants to talk how good Cam looks and how bad Brady looked, but we'll talk about Brady later. It was Bill after all. And before I saw this, what I typed was all capital letters. BB is a genius, 8 exclamation points. Cam MVP, 4 exclamation points.
I think you may be underreacting.
Not enough exclamation points.
No.
Should I have folded and made the font bigger?
The sad thing, though, is Cam may be the only player on the Patriots who is a fantasy asset this year. Like, I don't.
Harry will build something and then he'll be good. He's a receiver. He's not going to be a wide receiver one or anything. And I'm not expecting that whatsoever, but I think it'll help Harry, the football player, take a step.
Definitely. Oh, for sure. I mean, he was what, 5 targets, 5 catches and one bad fumble. I mean, like, that was ugly, but he was trying to extend to the goal line. And
I think he did that last year too, I think, or something happened. Or no.
No, last year they said he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah, that's the one. Yes, that's right. I knew it was something about going out of bounds in the end zone. So, yes, it is Bill Belichick. I'm going to stick with that. Not to say it all is, but, like, that's not the Patriots offense for the past 15 years.
Credit to both Belichick and McDaniels. I mean, McDaniels is the kind of the architect of that offense, and
made it to the playoffs with Tim Tebow. We know he could handle running quarterbacks.
Well, and that's it. I mean, like, you, as soon as they signed Cam, well, and I wanted them to draft Lamar Jackson. I wanted them to end up with
rumors about that.
Yeah, I wanted them to end up with PJ Walker. Like, give me somebody who can run the ball, change this entire offense. Because if you try to come up with some facsimile of the Tom Brady offense, it's going to be a pale imitation, and it's not going to work. Like, you don't have Tom Brady. You don't have somebody, even though his skills aren't what they used to be, you don't have somebody who can process the game the way Tom Brady did. But you can change the, and it was a perfect time to change the offense with Brady left. You know, Gronkowski had retired. You have that young backfield. You've got not much in terms of receivers. You've got Edelman kind of on the way out. You're hoping N'Keal Harry is what we all thought N'Keal Harry was going to be. And so having Cam Newton there, changing this offense, I mean, it's fantastic. It stinks for Sonny Michel because he's not going to get as much for goal line work yet. If Cam is inside the 10, he is definitely looking to score. But
oh, yeah. Well, especially that first game, which clearly he did. Okay, so back to my Red List 2 team with Bobby. We have, what's his name, Julian Edelman on our team. And like I said, I've decided we're rebuilding. Do you think, and I know this falls into exactly the same question with Sammy, do you think I can get a second for Julian Edelman right now from a competing team?
I don't know. I would try.
I'm going to. But if you have a competing team, would you send a second for Julian Edelman?
I don't think I would. But I may be a bad one to ask because I'm sitting here watching the Patriots and I'm watching Cam. So the Edelman success was predicated on the fact that Tom Brady processed 3 different receivers in under 2 seconds and got the ball out. And Edelman was always that guy open for Tom, short and quick. And that's not necessarily what Cam Newton does. Cam Newton will drop back. He will look for that, a little bit deeper throw, but he'll also move the pocket, Tom Brady would step up in the pocket. I mean, he's a magician in terms of getting away in like a foot and a half square space, but the way Cam Newton plays is totally different, and I don't think it lends itself to necessarily how Edelman gets open, because he's the guy who comes up, stems quick, you know, shakes the defender, and then goes the other way and is open for 4 steps. But then that window closes, and if you're not processing, boom, boom, okay, Edelman, and you go boom, boom, Edelman's window is already closed. And I also think the other part of this that really makes me nervous for Julian Edelman is if you watch the game, everything Cam throws is high. And Edelman took the first ball he dropped, he got absolutely blistered from behind.
The middle, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, and so I think that all of those things, Edelman becomes a pretty big sell, and he was a buy for me when Stidham was there.
Yeah,
okay. Because I thought that was going to be the safety blanket, but Cam's safety blanket is, hey, I can run for 12 yards anytime I want to.
Yeah, my goal, the second goal is the wrong word. My action with the Patriots the second Tom Brady left was N'Keal Harry plus, because he doesn't fit Tom Brady. He fits the rest of the NFL.
Yeah.
Like someone who's willing to just throw the ball. Okay, but let's move on because, like, I could talk about the Seahawks forever. I know you can go on about the Patriots forever. The only thing I have written down for the Dolphins is nothing until Tua. Now, I'm happy to have seen, like, 9 targets for Preston Williams, even though I think he went, like, 6 for 40-something. But
no, not even. He was 2 for 40, 2 for 41, 2 catches for 41.
Oh, 2 for 40. That's worse than I thought it was.
But so
it was
no. Hold on. You ready for this?
Sorry. Okay.
He saw Gilmore all day. Nobody gets open on Gilmore. And he drew at least 2, maybe 3 pass interferences on Stephon Gilmore.
See, that's why
Preston Williams was legit in this. So you look at the box score and you're like, 2 for 41, like he was terrible. But like he was 2 for 41 on Gilmore and got and drew multiple pass interference penalties. Like it was a legit game against one of the best defenders in the NFL.
Are you sending a first round pick for Preston Williams?
Ooh.
I think you have to. I don't think you're getting him for a second.
So, Preston Williams is the type of player that I would try to package players for instead of or maybe I give up. Can I give up a 22? Like a 2022?
Yeah, tell me what you think. No, exactly. Cause not everyone has a first. Not everyone has a first that another person would want. So whatever you have to interject in just saying what you would send gives other people.
I give up a first, 2 years out. I'm more than happy doing that. If I have to throw in another pick, if it's like a 2022 first and like a third or a fourth, fine. I'll go do that because I do think Preston Williams is going to be the one there. And I think that offense is going to, in the next 2 years, be very, very good. Once Tua is there, once Preston Williams is there, once that coaching staff has had a little bit of chance and once their GM has had a chance to turn over a few things, I think the Dolphins are going to be sitting similar to where the Bills are. In terms of being that kind of exciting young team who, with all of the Dolphins, I think will have a better quarterback. I didn't say that. A better passing quarterback anyway.
Yeah, I don't think that's super tricky at all. But yeah, I agree. Like I've been a Preston Williams fan since first I read about him, honestly, before I saw him play. When I first read about him, I became a fan of him. Then seeing him play, I'm a very big fan, especially over Devontae Parker, 50-year breakout kind of thing. Yeah. And I was talking before we started recording about how I came into Trade Addict 7 week 1 against me and Brian versus Bobby Koch, who we're talking about way too much on this show. we had about a 2-3 point lead. We had Saquon, he had Darius Slayton, and we handedly lost because Slayton ended up with 28 points and Saquon ended up with 12.
There are definitely points per carry there, huh?
Oh, if there were points per carry, we'd be great. Okay, well, we're just going to keep moving on past the Dolphins because it's the Dolphins still. Let's get to the Jaguars and the Colts. Nyheim Hines is the running back one.
I don't know.
Clearly, it was not in their game plan for Marlon Mack to go down, and so things happened. We knew Nyheim Hines was going to catch some balls because that's what Phillip Rivers does. Also, kudos to Paris Campbell, right? He did really well.
Yeah.
And I'm happy because I have a ton of shares because you liked him so much.
he's a very good player. And I'm very glad I could tweet a GIF of the Eiffel Tower to Peter Howard after his first catch.
Yeah, seriously. And especially like next year when T.Y.'s probably gone. And Campbell's going to be, and with the big dude Pittman on the other side, I think that's going to be really good. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the running back one for fantasy, Nyheim Hines.
Look, it's the Phillip Rivers Eckler connection. I mean,
JT caught 6 passes, right?
Six for 6 for 67 for Jonathan Taylor, who
take back a yard.
I've been told that he can't catch the ball. So,
and to draw the really bad, horrible comparison, we said the same thing about Melvin Gordon when he came out. Because they both are bigger backs than went to Wisconsin. That's really the only reason I'm going to lump them together. It's honestly the exact same thing, though. Like we were worried about the tread because Wisconsin runs their backs. We were worried because they don't catch that many balls, even though Taylor did kind of.
He had 26 catches last year. Yeah, he did.
So, but I'm just going to say it again. Nyheim Hines, running back one.
The thing that for Hines that surprised me was not the eight targets, but it was the goal line work. You saw that in like early and often in that game where Nyheim Hines was getting carries inside the five.
Do you think that's going to stay that way going forward, or do you think this is going to quickly become the Jonathan Taylor show?
I hope it quickly becomes the Jonathan Taylor show. I think Jonathan Taylor is very, very good. I still take him over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that's not a knock at Helaire. And if you are a Helaire person, more power to you. I'm not going to knock you for that because they're right there. But I do think Jonathan Taylor is a pass catcher, and I think that he is easily the best runner in this class. And so if he can catch three balls a game and run the way I think he will, then I'm going to take that all day.
Okay, so let's ask the brand's question. Are you selling Hines off of this game? Right now in your inbox, you get what seems to be an early second for Hines, though we don't really play the guessing game.
No, if it's an early second, I'm hanging on to Hines, especially if my team's competitive, because I think that he is going to get a ton of receiving work because Philip Rivers likes to work in that area. Obviously, you've seen Marlon Mack go out for the year, so Hines is a player that is trusted by that coaching staff. I do think that if you see Taylor struggle at all, he did have some quasi-fumbling issues at Wisconsin. If you see him have a game where he has, you know, a bad mistake, I think Hines is trusted to be, you know, a spell guy. Mm-hmm. And so, no, not for a second. I'm not shipping him out because I do think he can be an asset for a competitive team.
Cool. And because I like making comparisons that really make almost no sense whatsoever, but have one little small connection, Adrian Peterson had fumbling problems coming out too.
Yes.
You know, the two of them have nothing to do with each other, but yeah. And fumbles are very super fixable. All right, so let's move on to the Jaguars. We'll go with mine first. Minshew Mania is back. Literally made history yesterday. 19 of 20 for three touchdowns, I think it was.
Yep.
And man, did he spread the ball out. I'm a little worried about that because I wanted all of it to go to Shark. But this will lead into at FF underscore sandwich, fantastic handle. How good Chenault performed, it surprised me at least. I didn't expect that in the first game.
Yeah, and I did not either. But I do think LaVisca Chenault is talented. He was a player that I was seeing a few weeks ago go by because nobody's talking about him. And I do think that he is really close to being I have him in the top five in this class of receivers. And so, like, I do think that his game is a little interesting. Because he's not really polished as a route runner necessarily yet. So he's not going to take man coverage and, you know, absolutely abuse a corner. But if he gets zone coverage, he's really good at that. And you saw a couple times they handed him the ball and they got him the ball in space, you know, on a bubble screen or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And man, is he a ball carrier when he gets a little bit of wiggle room.
He's a big dude and he has moves. Like I was going to say, that's the kind of dude you throw a bubble screen or you run a pick play for.
Yeah.
Get him in space.
Yeah.
And it's like, honestly, I think you're going to see at least 2 to 3 times these plays are called for him a game. I think like every single pass catcher for the Jaguars had 3 catches. So,
well, it's because Minshew was there conducting the Jacksonville Pops Orchestra. I mean, that was beautiful.
Yeah. So, okay. But is this real? Like, that's really what I was joking about. The Minshew Mania is back. Like, I overstated how bad the Jaguars were going to be. Are we saying goodbye to Tank for Trevor and fail for Fields? Like,
no.
Are they going to win their way out of a top 3-ish pick?
No, I don't think they will. He still only threw for 173 yards. I mean, it wasn't like he was, you know, throwing the ball all over the field. They happened to have some good field position, and he made the most of it. He was great. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. 19 for 20 passing is impressive, but like, he's not, it wasn't like he eviscerated anybody.
Okay. So yeah, that wasn't a super exciting game anyway, though it was super weird to actually see Philip Rivers play in that blue jersey.
Yeah.
So weird. The next game we are going to do is the Washington football team versus the Eagles. My first note, just drop Antonio Gibson. All right. I don't know if it's my internet or yours, but you are super glitchy.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. You're back. Okay. Laugh again. Just drop Antonio Gibson. All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh man. No, I said, wait a week and then trade him. I think you can't expect a guy who had, again, we're talking about a guy who had less than 40 touches in college.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just relax on anointing him the lead back in that backfield. Let's let him ease into it. I mean, they didn't play particularly well in one, and like it's fine. Like it's okay. Don't panic on Antonio Gibson yet. But if you get a good offer for him, if you get a first for him, I would go do that. I really would. Like he's not a player that I have ever been 100% on board with. He's a really nice upside dart throw, but I'd rather have either a quarterback or one of those. There are some serious receivers coming out next year. So,
oh yes. Yeah. I was sad to see Antonio Gandy Golden do absolutely nothing, but I'm going to take my first victory lap of the season because I made the joke that many times has someone tried to put a flashy young running back in front of Peyton Barber, and we see what happens.
Oh.
Peyton Barber season, baby. No, it's not. Okay, so let's move on.
I mean, Peyton Barber did look a lot like Saquon this week.
Sorry, Brian.
The news! Oh, sorry.
At Dynasty_Doofus, is Ertz going to be phased out a bit given the contract tension and Goddard's upside? That looks kind of dumb as I type it out on the screen, but I'm still freaking out, rolling on the floor laughing. I'm going to answer this one. Like, no, as long as he's on the team, he's not going to get phased out. I'm done saying that Ertz is gone because of his contract. It's been 3 years that I've been saying that. It's been 3 years they found a way to keep him. Whether it happens this time or not, who the hell knows? But as of right now, the two tight ends are the main pass catchers on that team. I can't wait for Jalen Reagor to get a little healthier and for hopefully that line to buy Carson Wentz 4 seconds. Because, I mean, 1 for 55 just is wonderful. That's a wonderful start. So let's keep that going. But oh, let me just read this next one also. At Dynasty Corey, did I spend a first on JJ Arcega-Whiteside last year and cannot even roster him now?
I'm sorry.
So let's talk about the Eagles offense a little bit and how I just blame everything on the offensive line at this point. And Miles Sanders not being there, so no one really cared about Boston Scott. Sorry. Is this what we're looking at? Are we looking at okay games out of Wentz fantasy-wise? Hopefully he doesn't get, if he didn't get those two turnovers, he'd have a much better game, but you know, that's part of the game. Do you agree with what I think I kind of meant it when I said it, where Goddard and Ertz are going to be the main pass catchers. And this was a weird week where Ertz caught the touchdown and not, well, Goddard had one also, but like, is that what really we can expect?
Yeah. I think you're going to see two top 10 tight ends in Philadelphia. Again, they did that last year. They're going to do it again this year. Ertz had 7 targets. It's not like they didn't throw him the ball. He just had 3 catches. He had a pass broken up in the end zone. Like he got a red zone target. It's not like they were not throwing the ball to Ertz. It just was a day where he didn't catch it and Dallas Goedert did and ended up rolling up 100 yards and a touchdown. Like I'm not worried about those two players. I'm very sorry for the gentleman who drafted Arcega-Whiteside in the first. I was trying to put you on Paris Campbell. Desperately, but
yeah, but Man, no, I had a point and I completely lost it. So we're just going to go on. Wow, I can't believe I literally just forgot what I was about to say. Is it going to come back? Nope, moving on. Lions and the Bears. At Eric John Flynn. Kerryon Johnson, 7 for 14, and The Undertaker, Adrian Peterson, rises again. So yep. Let's just add in at Carl Savchek said he's freaking out about DeAndre Swift in a bad way. So what do we think about... And oh yeah, and I put Cephas greater than Marv.
Cephas is a man.
I didn't get to watch this game at all, but clearly that's the thing. And I wish I listened to the Fantasy Timeline guides more and went and got Cephas everywhere because I'm like, no, I got Marvin Jones at a couple places. That'll be fine. Yeah. Okay, but no, hit me with this. All I know about this game at all was that Cephas way out-targeted Marvin Jones and that DeAndre Swift dropped what could have been like a game-tying touchdown. That's the thing I know. So tell me a little bit about how this game went.
So Cephas had 10 targets. Cephas filled in very admirably for Kenny Golladay. Like, it was like you don't often see a receiver come in for a number one and see, I mean, he saw 10 targets. I mean, he didn't hugely out target Marvin. Marvin Jones had 8 targets, but it like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like they were just like laser focused on Cephas and, you know, tossing Marvin Jones to the curb, but it was really, really obvious. Cephas is really big and really physical. And, you know, you saw him play that way in college, and it's really hard for me to figure out if that type of play is going to translate. I mean, you mentioned Anquan Boldin before, but it's that type of like, I'm going to go be physical and get you out of the way and make a play because I am a bad man. And that's what Cephas was doing. I mean, he looked like a man playing against not men. Yeah, much smaller man.
Okay, so this backfield. Now, for some reason, Adrian Peterson comes in 2 weeks ago and I think he led the backfield in touches. Are you worried about Swift?
No, not long term.
Let's talk this season. How about that?
Well, I mean, this season, if you were thinking he was going to come in and take over that backfield, then I'm sorry. Like, he's very talented, but if you watch what Patricia has done with that team,
that's why it's the only reason it was a bad landing spot is because Patricia's the coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, and even before Patricia got there, you look at what Detroit has perennially done with their running backs, and they've really tried to have that committee, and they had the Theo Riddick back, and they had I can't even remember who
Joik Bell.
Yeah, Joik, that's who it was. Joik.
Is that who you're thinking about? I was joking. I love that guy.
Yeah, no, they did that, and they were like, everyone was like, oh, Amir Abdullah is gonna come in, and I was like, yeah, Joik's on you.
Here, baby. That's my boy. That's one of my
but like I really think that Swift is a very talented player, and he did see, he saw 5 targets as a receiver. The one he dropped definitely would have won the game, and he made a great route, got completely wide open, turned to catch it, had the ball in his hand, turned to like run up the field because I don't think he knew where he was, and as he tucked it when he tried to run, he fumbled it or lost it. Like, he didn't ever have possession. He was already in the end zone. Oh. So like, there was nowhere to run. Like, but he thought he was going to have to try to get away from these defenders. And so he just did the like run before you catch it thing.
Gotcha. He turned the field too early before.
Yeah. I felt so bad for him because as a young guy, that's your first chance to like make an impression and you pooched it.
Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't stick with him. So let's move on to the Bears, where I just wrote in honor of Eitan Mosia, I wrote Trabortles season.
That's great. That's it.
I don't know who you're about. Yeah. I love that Anthony Miller's getting targets, man. I love it. I just get some of them back to Allen Robinson. Okay, but we're not going to talk about the Bears.
What? Did you see Darnell Mooney had 3 for 3? I know the other day you were talking that you had never heard of Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, I got him in the league. I have no idea who he is.
Darnell Mooney is literally my most owned dynasty player because nobody was drafting him, and he was always there in the fifth round.
Yeah.
And like, he's a very good downfield, like, get open deep kind of guy.
Cool.
3 for 3. 3 targets, 3 catches, 38 yards. He's the third best receiver in Chicago.
I'll take it. Okay, let's move on to the Packers and the Vikings. Rodgers plus Adams equals the QB and receiver one.
Yeah.
First of all, let's take a moment and just, have you ever been as happy and self-assured as John Hogue was after that game? I don't think I ever have been.
No, but I don't think I've ever been as invested in touting a player
in my life as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
No, I think we all saw this coming with Davante Adams. Like, at least I have been saying for like the entire offseason, he has a very easy chance, since the draft and they didn't bring anyone in, that he easily has the chance to be the wide receiver one, just on the amount of targets he's going to get.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're covering him. I don't think. If Aaron Rodgers is on his game like he was yesterday, and when Davante Adams wants to be a bad man, it doesn't matter how much you're covering him.
Yeah, and it's so funny because the knock on him is always he doesn't get the yardage. You know, it's the old, he's only had 1,000-yard season and da-da-da-da. But you look at how consistent he is scoring touchdowns.
Yes.
And normally that's not a thing. I mean, we talk about that all the time. That doesn't carry year to year. It does with some guys, and Davante Adams is the guy it does. And he scored 2 more again yesterday, you know, Sunday. So that was yesterday. Yesterday.
Yes, that was yesterday. And I think it was, I don't know if it's good or bad or just weird that both Lazard and MVS put up points, like a lot of them. So I just don't know if that's going to keep happening. I don't think so.
But
both of them just on bad teams that are at the bottom of the rosters. I would have liked to have known what to do with them. That's really what it comes down to. Now I'm just holding them again.
Yeah, it's another one of those, the Sammy season, where like there may be weeks where they go off. There are going to be weeks where they don't get anything. If you can get something for them, I would sell them. And if not, then play them occasionally.
I don't know. MVS made it into one of my best ball dynasty.
Yeah, see?
Startup.
There you go.
That was nice. Okay, so let's move over to the Vikings. So the Viking offense is just awful, except and I guess Dalvin. But like, again, I didn't get to watch this game at all, but everything I read, at least for the first half, first 3 quarters, just said that the Vikings offense was like dysfunctional.
Yeah. It was ugly.
Do we have faith that at least Thielen, Cousins, and Cook will stay good fantasy?
They should be relevant this year. You know, again, health is the main driver of that. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be enough for them. And the other piece of that is somebody is going to emerge as the two there.
Irv Smith.
Whether it's BC Johnson or Justin Jefferson. And you know I have to go to Justin Jefferson, but like,
or Irv Smith.
Yeah, it could be Irv. I mean, I guess.
Say it. That's all I cared about.
But Johnson saw 4 targets. Jefferson saw 3. It was pretty ugly. But Jefferson did see a few more snaps than BC Johnson.
So which is good.
Whatever. Yeah, so, whatever that's worth.
Workout stuff. Okay, but I just no need to stick talking to a bad offense. Clearly, you would go, if someone is down on Justin Jefferson's first game, you would go and buy him. I'm stashing BC because I think there's a good chance that he can still just be the number two until, let's face it, Justin Jefferson's very good at football. So sooner or later, he will be the number two, if not the number one guy there. But for now, I'm holding on to BC. The next, we're going to move on to the Raiders and Panthers game. Okay, here I have, all capital letters, Robbie Anderson, Carolina's wide receiver one.
No.
Man, I did not see this coming. That is at least what I will say. I've always been a decent Robbie Anderson fan. I wanted him to go be something somewhere, because clearly the Jets were holding him down. I really wanted him to get a chance of being, I don't know what I wanted a chance to be. I don't think he could walk into anywhere and be the number one guy, wide receiver on the team. But I think he can work his way into being a 1B, because I really do like him that much. I did not see this coming at all. And especially with DJ Moore and CMC not even getting that many receptions, even though they were losing, and all of this random stuff. That, just tell me what this offense, like, is this offense going to be as spread out as it was, do you think?
I don't have any idea. I don't know. I don't have answers. This has been, because I don't know what Bridgewater is. Like, this was the toughest offense in the league this year for me to sit there and look, because you've got a new coach, you've got a new offensive coordinator, you've got a new quarterback, and one of the most exciting, in terms of pieces, offenses in the league. And I don't know what to make of it. I think that you'll be fine. I think DJ Moore saw 9 targets. It's not like he didn't see the ball. You saw 8 targets for Curtis Samuel. Like, they threw the ball around. I don't believe you're going to see 8 targets a game for Robbie Anderson. I don't think. Like, he's always been a field stretcher. You know, if he gets deep and puts his hand up, you throw it to him. But most of the time, you just kind of wave as he runs. So, you know, I think it will be fine. I am heartened a little bit that Bridgewater threw 34 times.
Well, that is pretty good.
Like, that's a lot, especially for him. In, like, historically, like, even when he was with the Saints, like, they were just like game managing, you know. Yeah. And he did. He threw the ball 34 times, completed 22. So, it was, you know, it was okay. But it's still like, this offense is the hardest one for me to peg in the entire NFL.
Yeah, it was so weird. And I need to give the shout out to at the Jake Earl, who put in DJ Moore and his 9 damn points.
Yeah, I got several of those.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to the Raiders side. Bryan Edwards, 1 target.
It's true.
I just wanted to put that in there because I know you're Bryan Edwards guy, so I just need to call it out. But the real one I want to talk about is my biggest make amends of this non-point scoring season. I have never said a kind word about Josh Jacobs this non-point scoring season. And I don't know if John Gruden, like a few weeks ago when he traded Lynn Bowden, was just like, no, we're throwing the ball to Josh Jacobs. That's what we're going to do. I'm not even like talking about the 3 rushing touchdowns. 6 catches is, or was it 6 or 4 catches? I can't remember which it was. But like, that's the part I'm just, that's the difference between being a running back one and a chance at being the running back one.
Yes.
And that's where I have absolutely been wrong. Like, I've said in a points per carry league, yeah, Jacobs is probably top 5 running back because he's going to run the ball a lot. I just didn't think I thought he was going to get like 15 catches on the season.
Yeah. And I have been on record many times comparing him to Sony Michel. Yeah. Negatively to Sony Michel. And Sony Michel was a player that I loved also. I think that their college profiles were similar in terms of, I thought they were going to be more than what they'd shown in college. I thought that they would both be able to take a 3-down role in the backfield. And then when I saw them play in the NFL and I saw how they were being used, I was like, yeah, no, I'm out. Jacobs, watching those, and you're right, 6 targets in that game, and that's the big number. It's not the 3 touchdowns. It's not the 25 carries. The 6 targets is that huge factor, and all of a sudden that does. That makes Josh Jacobs, it puts him in that conversation in those, the top 5 running backs.
Yeah, it really does. Oh, and I need to point out that I wrote Josh Jacobs, RB2, clearly behind Nyheim Hines.
Perfect. And Darrell Williams is 3, right?
Of course, yeah. Okay. CEH, like 8 or 9, maybe? I don't know. We still need to wait. All right, let's just move on to the Chargers and Bengals game. for the Bengals, Mixon just isn't worth the money.
No.
That offense, I just want to be a thing so bad. And from what everything I've read, Burrow looked the part. That offensive line is still bad, unfortunately. And the Boyd usage scares me a little bit because I have a ton of shares and love Tyler Boyd. And there was all of that, those fluff pieces about how they have such a connection and nothing one. But really, this was me searching for something to talk about the Bengals that really was worthwhile because we knew it wasn't going to click right away. The only thing we could say is Mixon didn't look good.
No, Mixon didn't look good. Burrow actually at the beginning of the game looked really overwhelmed. But then kind of got his feet going forward. Hit up AJ Brown, I think 10 targets, and then he actually Boyd saw it. Huh?
Wrong color.
AJ Green. Yeah. I like AJ Brown better. AJ Green, Brown, Alfred Blue. AJ Green, like I said, 10 targets. I don't think I'd be too worried about Boyd. I think that once that offense gets rolling, Boyd is the real sleeper in there is Uzuma. As a tight end streamer, like I played him a couple places, and I think you're going to see better games from him. And Gio had 4 catches on 5 targets. There's all your Mixon love. I mean, it's still Gio vulturing passing work.
All right, so let's just move on to the Chargers, where my only note was we want Herbert with a couple of exclamation points. But the two we got from at Dynasty Legs and at M DeBelts. Sorry, I probably should have. Yeah, that's what it says. I don't know if there's whatever. We're just going to move on. They're both freaking out about Austin Eckler, and a lot of it has to do with the passing game.
They should.
Yeah, they should. The thing is, Joshua Kelly looks good, and Austin Eckler did well with his rushes. Like, he did well. He still put up like 80-something yards.
Yeah, but 19 for 84. One target.
That's really the problem. And you were looking through rose-colored glasses if you didn't see at least a diminish in his targets, but one. That's rough.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that the pickup of his workload in the running game would pretty close to offset the lack of targets or the diminish in targets. But if he's not being targeted at all, he's going to have like 65 carries a game to make up that difference.
Yeah, it's going to be a little rough. I mean, I think we're looking at Nick Chubb's stat lines, which is, I mean, good and bad. Good for real football, not great for fantasy, because 8.4 points isn't really going to win you anything.
I will tell you the one kind of silver lining of a Tyrod Taylor-led offense there in L.A. is if you have Mike Williams rostered.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor, and like, I know Mike Williams had a pretty good game. He had 9 targets, but Tyrod Taylor is such an underrated deep ball thrower. Like he's really good. Even when he was with the Bills, I used to hate when the Bills played the Patriots because the Patriots were really susceptible to the deep ball, and Taylor would hit somebody deep every single game, you know, one or two times. Like he's a really underrated thrower of the football downfield.
Yep.
But the underneath stuff, the Keenan Allen stuff, the Eckler stuff, I think we're in for some long, kind of cold nights here with those players.
I mean, Herbert, the thing on Herbert is his arm talent. So that's why I've been going for Mike Williams, besides Team Big Class and wide receiver reason, but for the reason of the quarterbacks now fit Mike Williams' talents. So I'm all in. Let's move on to the Saints and Bucks. All I wrote was MT dead, Bucks dead. Now, I want to talk seriously about, okay, first of all, obviously both of those are completely in jest. Michael Thomas will be fine. That entire Saints offense will be fine. I don't even really think we need to talk about that all that much. I want to talk about the Bucks.
Yeah.
Saints A are a very good defense. And if you can go by Mike Evans off of someone who doesn't realize that literally every time Mike Evans goes up against Marshawn Lattimore, he gets shut the hell down. We're just lucky he caught that touchdown to make his points look not god awful. But like go by Mike Evans because I know everyone's panicking and it is not the right thing to do. Did we really? I know Brady is, I'll say it, he's the best of all time. I don't think it's super arguable anymore. People might argue because of any bias they have. To take him out of that conversation is dumb. Let's put it that way. He is in conversation to be the best quarterback of all time. He still needs a little bit, you know, in a new system, in a new team, in a new climate with new wide receivers that he's never had anything like before. And OJ Howard had the most targets. But seriously, go buy any piece of this offense you can get. Even at price at this point, because maybe someone wasn't willing to sell Evans or willing to sell Godwin. Maybe just go send two firsts for Scotty Miller and just be happy with it when you get him for two firsts. But go buy any part of this offense so someone is silly enough to really think that Brady is toast. Just that's my feelings on this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I like the Scotty Miller call. You might not be able to get him for two firsts. You might have to throw in a kicker. It's the Riley Bymaster, you know, tack on a fourth. But no, but you know, we talked earlier about the way Julian Edelman got open and the timing routes and that quick kind of the way Brady processes. Tampa Bay's offensive line is really bad.
Yes.
And he's going to have to process quickly. Mm-hmm. Which means the way Scotty Miller gets open and the area that Scotty Miller gets open in is going to be a favorite target of Brady. And I love the OJ Howard call. We could reprise Bobby Koch because I know he and I had an argument about OJ Howard in the Definitely Not a New League chat where he bet me that OJ Howard would never be a tight end one in his career. And I said, okay, I'll take that because he already has been. But he will, like, he's that type of player. Gronk looked like a shell of himself.
If anyone didn't see that coming, at least for the first game, like, he needs to get back to game shape.
But he looked slow.
He hasn't done any of this. Like, he retired, like, not often do you come back from retirement and do that well. It's just, okay, I'm just going to make the – look, if you didn't see Brady doing well with the white slot receiver, then that's on you. Let's get that out there. Then you're just ignoring history. Okay, so we're going to move on. The next game is the Cardinals and the 49ers. And the only thing I have written is in all capital letters with a lot of exclamation points. But DeAndre Hopkins is old and on a new team. He's not going to do well.
So when I was on with the junkies, this was probably like 3 or 4 weeks ago. They asked me, is DeAndre Hopkins a buy, sell, or hold? And I said, I'm either holding or I'm buying because his price is low. In fact, in the draft that we just had with all of the guys over the DFPN at work, he went in the fourth round. DeAndre Hopkins went in the fourth. And I'm sitting there going, I hope he falls to me. And then Kevin Cotillo took him.
I was getting so angry. Like, I want to draft Young. I want to draft one. Oh, there's DeAndre Hopkins again. God damn it, I want to draft Young.
Yeah. And like that, it was such a baffling thing because we've talked about the Arizona offense as wanting to run a ton of plays, wanting to run that air raid, wanting to spread the field out and throw a ton. Kyler Murray had 40 passes. Okay, this is a quarterback who ran for 91 yards and threw the ball 40 times.
He's got to be tired.
But like that's the thing. And again, if you are a Peter Howard disciple and you believe that targets follow talent, DeAndre Hopkins is still one of the most talented receivers in the NFL, even though he changed the color of his uniform.
Yeah, 16 targets might be a little
that's high. Much. Yes, yeah,
and maybe it could have been a little bit. Okay, we just paid this dude a lot of money, get him the damn ball. But no, absolutely, he is very good, and they run a lot of plays. Probabilities will tell you that will get him targets. Like that's just it. That's what it comes down to. And my sarcasm. I don't know why I really emphasized that weirdly. I might be going to bed pretty soon. my sarcasm on reading that DeAndre Hopkins lines, I think, says it all. But we have one game left, and let's get to it. Well, I guess technically we made fun of him to Saquon enough and talked about Ben looking good. So we don't. So it's not like we missed that, talking about that one and the other games happening right now. But let's talk about the Rams and Cowboys. First, we have, I'll read them separately. At FF Mike _ says he's freaking out about Akers. I drafted him as a clear starter and now I'm freaking out, man. And at Noob Engineer _, wow, two underscores at the end. Akers' level of play compared to Brown is the number one for me as well. I know he is a rookie and all, but damn, it looked bad.
You're talking to a guy who has Malcolm Brown rostered on six teams and started Malcolm Brown in six places, including this. Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. Yes. And we've seen that, like, this is not a new thing with the Rams, with McVay, with the way he's handled his running backs. When Gurley was injured, it was, okay, Malcolm Brown, you have our trust until you're injured. And then we'll try to figure out what we're going to do. They did that last year. They did that the year before. Like, Malcolm Brown has been a thing for 3 years now.
And he's the second they signed that tender to steal him back from, I think it was like Tampa or the Dolphins tried to take him. Like, you, again, should have seen this coming. And while we love to think the new shiny toy is going to be played with by everybody, it's not going to be right away. And it's a little silly to think it.
And we, like, we've been talking about pumping the brakes on these running backs that are landing in spots that there's not necessarily a clear path to. And I know that everyone thought that Akers had the clearest path, and he probably does, but there's still some work to be done there. And again, you didn't have a real preseason. You had a truncated preseason where you're doing a ton of walkthroughs and not much tackling because you don't want to injure your own guys. Plus, they had Hard Knocks. So that adds a whole nother element of distraction. And I think they do a lot of work for the camera. Sometimes that leads you to not be doing as much work for your practice. I mean, I don't think that they completely sacrifice what they're doing, but they're also making TV. But Malcolm Brown is good. I was so disappointed when he went there initially, where I was just like, that crushes one of my UDFA running back dreams. It was kind of like when Darius Jackson went and sat behind Zeke, and I was like, oh, well, that's the end.
Yeah. No, and I did watch a bit of this game, and I got to be honest, like, Akers looked like Akers. That offensive line did him no favors. He had to dance like a mofo the second he touched the ball. And the fact that he got back to the line a lot of the time was a good run. It's just, unfortunately, his situation did not get better from college. I think as the season goes, yes, I think he will get more and more. I do still think it'll be a split between Malcolm Brown and Akers, as long as Brown does stay healthy. But again, it's what you should have seen coming. And yeah, sorry, Mike, you probably just shouldn't have drafted him as a clear starter. So maybe that's a little bit on your expectations. Out there. Sorry. Okay, so let's move on to the Cowboys. Okay, first we'll do mine because it's not sad. Amari Cooper got the most targets, but I was told this is a CeeDee Lamb's team.
it will be. But 14 targets for Amari Cooper is fantastic.
Yeah. Man, there were not – okay, so let's also say there was not a lot of good offensive line play this week.
No.
Short of, like, the Chiefs. I think if Chris Collinsworth could have left the booth and proposed to Koleke Osemele on the spot, he would have. Oh, my God, every running play he talked about, that man. No, don't get me wrong. My brother and I have a few friends that are big Ravens fans. So I've always known a lot more about their team than I have about random other teams. So I've known about him since he came into the league. He's always been that good. So this isn't a shock. This isn't a surprise. Like, he left Baltimore because they didn't want to pay him, not because he was bad. So yes, he's very, but oh man, I got so tired of hearing that man's name. But so again, I know Akers looked bad and all of that stuff, and Dak had a lot of pressure on him, and yeah, Aaron Darnold is just Donald. Goddamn good. But that line also did no favors. Like, oh, if you did not watch this game, if you didn't get to see this game, watch replays and see that it was like Aaron Donald running drills against them. That's what it was like. It was, he had free reign to do whatever the hell he wanted.
He is incredible. He really is. Like, I know that we're here to poo-poo the offensive line, but Aaron Donald is incredible.
I remember the very first few mock drafts that came out that year had Aaron Donald going at the bottom of the draft first round to the Seahawks. And I'm just like, yes, yes. The next one, he's going a little earlier. The next mock draft, he's going a little earlier. No. Come back down. Smoke weed or something. Come back down.
Did you see him showing? They had a clip on Hard Knocks where he was like talking about like his the punch and then like the how to get inside an offensive lineman. And he was showing the rookie and he's like, you just do this. And it's like his hands move so. And the rookie's like, it's like, no, you just do this. And it's like,
wait, can I record that and play it in slow motion so I can see what you did? Okay, so let's get to the real quick. You're right. CeeDee Lamb looked really good. We knew he was really good. Michael Gallup still looked good. I did not think Cooper got as many targets as he did watching the game.
Yeah.
Towards the end he did get a lot of passes towards him, but it seemed more spread out. It seemed like everyone got equal amounts of targets. I think this is going to be a really good offense. I think going forward, like, I do think they're going to spread the ball out. I do think all of them are going to do well. And I think eventually, yes, it will be CeeDee Lamb's team, but the hate on Cooper went very far. And I now think hopefully they feel silly for hating him that much. That's it.
Yeah. I will never understand. I mean, he's one of the best route runners that I have scouted. Again, granted, I haven't been for a long, long, long time, but he's one of the best route runners coming out of college that I've ever seen. He continues to do it in the pros. He's not always consistent, but he's always really good.
Really, I think everyone's going to hold Crabtree over him, and the fact that he can disappear still.
But that, like, that one season, so like, They played together. Was it three seasons that they played together? And it was one season.
Two off the top of my head, but it might have been three.
There was one season that he was almost completely schemed out of the offense. Like, not necessarily his own fault, although probably some of it was. But, like, if you're not seeing targets, it's really hard to make catches.
I remember that season, and that's when he came in all bulked up, and he caught a ball on the 2-yard line and dragged like three guys into the end zone. I'm like, yes, this is it, baby. Okay, so let's get to the one bit of sad news for the real, I think it was the only real injury to an offensive player, fantasy-wise, at the KC Kasem, Jarwin and his ACL. It was supposed to be his breakout year, dang it. So it is official that Blake Jarwin tore his ACL. Do not go out and buy Dalvin Schultz. That's all I'm going to say.
No. And that's actually probably more targets for Gallup and Lamb. I mean, exactly. If you got those guys, if you bought get low on Gallup, good for you.
Yeah, I almost started an argument, and I don't remember if it was on Twitter or in one of the group chats where someone's like talking about Dalton Schultz and how we should go buy him. Like, why? It's just going to be more passes for the wide receivers. I'm like, nope, not going to start it. Just hit the delete key, watch all those letters go away.
Targets go to talent.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I'm sure Schultz will get 3 to 5 a game, maybe 2 to 3 catches. If you're in a 2-point tight end premium with points per first down, maybe that gets you something. I don't know, but I wouldn't want him away to do anything about it. Okay. So we have been going on for an hour and a half. So we are going to do, I want to do one more trade, and then we're going to call it a night. So this is a Trade Addict 6 League a trade, and again, this happens before the games, and we gave John Hook credit for his well-deserved victory lap of Aaron Rodgers. But let me show you why he deserves it even more. Before the game, he traded Jared Goff, Jarvis Landry, and 2 21-fifths for Aaron Rodgers, Jonnu Smith, and a 21-fourth.
It cuts me deep trading Landry, but that's a hell of a trade by John.
Honestly, like, I don't, would you, to me, this is easily the Goff side, but then you're like, wait, Aaron Rodgers just carved the Vikings. Yeah. Okay, they're not as good as they were last year, their defense, but like, I remember like John posted this on Twitter. He's like, okay, I'm ready to get beat up again. Let's see it. This is the trade I drafted. And he was right. Like most people voted for the Goff side because Goff is very serviceable. Again, shout out Bobby Koch, because that's all we're doing this show is shouting out Bobby Koch for a serviceable quarterback now. And Jarvis Landry, who just is always good. And then Aaron Rodgers, who we all think...
Literally, Jarvis Landry has never finished since his rookie year outside of the top 18 wide receivers in PPR. Never.
Yep. So yeah, and, I just wanted to...
Hoke may have won that trade, which is crazy.
Which is always saying, make your trade, be happy, go get your guy, because this stuff can work out for you. And then I have one trade that was, it was actually mine in Trade Addict State. I'm just going to just say it because it was funny. Someone was clearing their rosters and sent me Darrell Williams, Logan Thomas, and a 21 fourth for my 22 second. And LA just said, all right, whatever. Okay. In the comments, I put, whatever. All right. But I guess Logan Thomas is the new tight ends one overall. So that's good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a trade.
It happens.
Trade Addicts trade.
Yeah. Okay, well, that is actually the end of our show sheet, so that is going to be the end of our show. Thank you so much, Zach, for coming on. I love talking to you. I am glad we started this like 25 minutes late. We got to talk a little bit because I'm going to go right the hell to sleep after this.
I can't blame you.
I am beat, but yes, thank you super, so much again. But before I get into my spiel, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they find what you can do. And I'm going to challenge you to not be self-deprecating when you do it.
I can't do that. I'm going to lose the challenge. I am Zach Reed. You can find me on Twitter at TacitAssassin13. I am, as always, the lesser half of the Dynasty Dummies.
You couldn't even make it three freaking sentences.
No, you really want to be following Kyle, who's at Caleb Breck. And like I said, part of the DFPN at work, the only at work in town. Russ is over there, one of the charter members, and we've got a great group of guys. If you're not subscribed to that podcast feed, you should, if only for the other pods on that feed. I mean, Russ and Kevin with Split Takes and Jay Mike with the Dummy Blitz. I've actually got the Dummy Blitz shirt on tonight. Like, it's they do some really, really good stuff. And then Kyle and I kind of bumble around and Kyle makes me look good and I sing poorly. But that's pretty much.
Huh? Funnily? Very funnily?
I try to have a sense of humor. It's
are you kidding? You found a way in the year 2020 to get Biz Markie stuck in my head. And not from watching Yo Gabba Gabba Biz's Beats. That says something. But yeah, oh my God, that song had me rolling. So good. But oh man, so just to point out how great the Dummy Blitz is, because I know that's what you always say is the best show on the entire network. I listened to J Mike's questions leading up to week one after today, yeah. After most of the games to week one. And I still just listen to it anyway, because like J Mike will always say, he just asks the questions. He's not here to tell you anything. He's here to tell you he's here to ask questions to make you think. And it doesn't matter that the games happened. It works. Yeah, you're talking and it sounds like a robot right now.
Sorry, I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Okay, now talk good about J Mike again.
So J Mike has this thing where he's like, he's got almost this outsider complex where he like doesn't think he belongs in whatever like group of analysts he thinks is going on. But like nobody helps me more with my process than J Mike. Just asking those questions, because he asks questions that I need to know the answer to that I never thought of.
Yep.
I roboted again, didn't I?
Yeah, a little bit, but it's fine. We're going to end now. I already pimped out our Patreon, but I'll do it again. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can watch Zach go robot live in person and join the Cool Kids Club, our GroupMe chat. Also, we have ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com where, hold on, I have to go look up it. All proceeds will be donated to Operation Underground Railroad, which is a charity helping fight human trafficking. This was HAR's decision for September and October. So go buy some awesome swag from any of the DAP network shows, or just, you know, the DAP network swag itself. Trade Addicts, Fantasy Timeline, Dynasty Junkies. We also have the Superflex Super Show, which I guess now we have to do Super Flexible stuff because, man, they're just blowing up everywhere. The Super Flexible Super Show merger guys. Dynasty Diagnostic, my awesome Casey Kasem shirt that I'm still super proud of because it's like the first thing I ever really designed. But again, all proceeds go to charity. We just think it's cool that people wear stuff we make. I'm going to go to bed now. Good night, Zach.
Good night, buddy.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Har FF. Follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.